Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When through the woods and forest glades I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees, when I look down from lofty mountains grander, and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God his Son not sparing sent him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and ne'er proclaim, my God, how great art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art.
Abby, appreciate it. I just like to sit there and just bask in that, wouldn't you? That's just awesome. I just noticed something else when I got them up here today. All you guys are a little forward more than usual, which is great. Love to have when you're all up in front and close. So I'd like to welcome you in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ this day. Brother Joe, Gio, will be saying our invocation. Deacon Trenton Jones will be doing our offertory today. Elder Mike Essel will be doing the sermon and scripture reading. And I am Elder Russell Copus. I'll be presiding today. And our brother, Elder Jim Schimmel, went to the emergency for having a problem with his leg, so I'll be doing the benediction as well. So we need to remember him in our hearts and remember to have a little prayer for him that the Lord will help him get through whatever he's going through. Let us start our worship with hymn number 198. 198. be a little unusual because I forgot to read the call to worship, and then we'll have the prayer. Matthew 21, 1 through 12. And when Jesus drew nigh unto Jerusalem, and they were come to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway you shall find a colt tied. Loose it and bring it unto me, and if any shall say not unto you, ye shall say, The Lord hath need of it, and straightway he will send it. And this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, and he is meek, and he is sitting upon an ass, and a colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded, and brought the colt, and put on it their clothes, and Jesus took the colt and sat thereon, and they followed him. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strewed in the way. And the multitudes that went before and also that followed after cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of God, Son of David. Blessed is he who cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Will you pray with me? Almighty God, our Father in heaven, we humbly come before you, Lord, in your house, under your spirit, that it might touch each and every one that is here today, Father. I thank you, God, for my brothers and sisters. I thank you for their faith. I thank you for this priesthood, Father, that you would continue to guide, lead, and direct it, and strengthen it, Father. Be with my brothers, Lord. We are all just instruments in your hands, God. We want your will to be done, not ours. I would even ask that our will would be your will. Be with my brother Mike today, Lord, as he brings the spoken word, as he will attempt to feed us, Lord, your sheep, your children. Everyone with an ear, let them hear, Father. Bring us closer together. Bring us up to that higher plane, Lord, so we can be closer to you, and that we might be able to touch your garment. Thank you for that still, small voice, Father. Be with the service, Lord. It's in your Son's name, which is the name above all names, which is the reason we're here. He is Jesus the Christ, and it's his name I pray. Amen.
Today I'd like to read from Luke chapter 21, verses 1 through 4. And he looked up and saw the rich man casting in their gifts into the treasury, and saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. And he said, Of a truth I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God. But she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had. Will we pray? Dear Lord, thank you for the blessing of being able to give back what you give it to us. Please help us to keep it in our hearts that you have given us everything that we have, and that we might have that joy to give back to you, even though you don't require us to give. all of our everything we have, but that we might give our lives to you, to serve you for your cause that you have designed us to do. Please bless the monies that are given, that they will be used to your desire. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Perfect music for an offertory, isn't it? It was beautiful. Thank you, Lola. I've chosen for a scripture reading this morning. It may seem a little odd to you that on this particular day I would read this particular scripture. But I've chosen section 76 of the Doctrine and Covenants, the fourth section, paragraphs G and H. And you'll see later how this ties in. And this is the gospel, the glad tidings which the voice out of the heavens bore record unto us, that he came into the world, even Jesus, to be crucified for the world, and to bear the sins of the world, I'd like for you to pay close attention to this next phrase. Carry this one on into the message that I bring after the next musical presentation. And to sanctify the world, and to cleanse it from all unrighteousness. I'll read that part again. And to sanctify the world and to cleanse it from all unrighteousness, that through him all might be saved, whom the Father hath put into his power and made by him, who glorifies the Father and saves all the works of his hands, except those sons of perdition who deny the Son after the Father has revealed him. May the Lord add his blessing. Forward to the day that I pass into eternity, because I get to listen to that for all time. Thank you so very much. That was absolutely beautiful. I greet you this morning in the sweet and precious name of our crucified Lord, our Master, our Savior, Jesus Christ. I'm humbled by your presence. I'll do my best for you. This is Palm Sunday. This is the day that we recognize. I won't say we celebrate this day. Basically, a day that will live in infamy. When Jesus rode into Jerusalem on that little donkey, a colt, never before ridden by any man. There's lots of symbolism in that. I won't explore that symbolism today. Some would say that this would mark the beginning of the end of Christ's earthly ministry. But as we know, it was not the end of his earthly ministry, because he came here to the Americas and appeared in bodily form to those on this continent to continue earthly ministry for a short period. After he was resurrected, he continued his earthly ministry for a short period of time. It was the ascension that we should celebrate. Nor was it the beginning of the end of his earthly ministry. He actually began orchestrating proceedings of this week. And next Friday. And next Sunday. He began orchestrating those things a bit earlier when he raised Lazarus from the dead. There's a few clues in there. I'll go to the 11th chapter of John. You know, he delayed his going to Lazarus after he found that he was dying. He delayed going there intentionally. In the 15th verse of chapter 11, he gives us a clue as to why he did that. He says, "I am glad for your sakes that I was not there." Now he's talking to his disciples. "I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent ye may believe." So this resurrection of Lazarus had a purpose. One, to the intent that his disciples would actually believe. The people who had been with him for most of his earthly ministry, those 3 years that he ministered. On over in the 11th chapter, starting in the 41st verse, he gives another explanation, a clue as to why he had delayed so long. "Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, 'Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by," and he's talking about all of the people who were around him at that time, "because of the people that stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me." He knew at that time that the resurrection or the raising from the dead of Lazarus was the miracle that was necessary to convince first the people that he was sent to the earth by God. Also to the convincing of the chief priests and the Pharisees who stood by at that point in time and heard him make this comment. To convince them that he was the Son of God. Which it did. Because from that moment on, they began to plot the scheme that would take Christ's life. It was at this time that he handed himself over, basically, into the hands of the chief priests and the Pharisees. They continued from that point on to plot against him. In the 45th verse he says, "Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him." They began to follow him at that point in time. And it was those people. It was those people who celebrated him as he rode in to Jerusalem on that little donkey. They covered the road that he was riding on with their clothing and with the palm fronds. Therefore, the term Palm Sunday. The Bible doesn't give an explanation as to why they did this. Could have been to soften the footsteps of the beast so that Christ wouldn't be jarred so much. Or it could have been to squelch the dust that at that time would have been raised by the hooves of the little donkey as he walked. Nevertheless, they strewn the way with the palm fronds. As Christ entered Jerusalem to complete his mission here upon this earth, what was that mission? As soon as I asked that question, thoughts came into your mind. Salvation of man, forgiveness, all of those different things that we read in the gospel. And right you are. One of his missions, his ministry, was to fulfill the plan of salvation. That's what this all was leading up to. The plan of salvation. He was the plan of salvation. By him we are saved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. For your salvation, my salvation, our salvation. Section 76, for all, it says for all men to be saved. Let's explore that just a little bit further. Let's go to the third book of Nephi. Third Nephi 12. This is rather long. It's a long read, but it's worth it. 25 through 35. Behold, I give unto you my gospel. And this is the gospel which I have given unto you, that I came into the world to do the will of my Father, because my Father sent me. And my Father sent me that I might be lifted up upon the cross. And after that I had been lifted up upon the cross, I might draw all men unto me. That as I have been lifted up by men, even so should men be lifted up by the Father to stand before me, to be judged of their works, whether they be good or whether they be evil. And for this cause have I been lifted up. Therefore, according to the power of the Father, I will draw all men unto me, that they may be judged according to their works. Remember, this is this gospel. He's presenting it himself in his own words. And it shall come to pass that whoso repenteth and is baptized in my name shall be filled. And if he endureth to the end, there's a big if right there, if he endureth to the end, behold, him will I hold guiltless before my Father at that day, when I shall stand to judge the world. And he that endureth not unto the end, the same is he that is also hewn down and cast into the fire, from whence they can no more return, because of the justice of the Father. And this is the word which he hath given unto the children of men. And for this cause he fulfilleth the words which he hath given, and he lieth not, but fulfilleth all his words. And no unclean thing can enter into his kingdom. Therefore, nothing entereth into his rest, save it be those who have washed their garments in my blood, because of their faith and the repentance of all their sins and their faithfulness unto the end. Now this is the commandment, repent all ye ends of the earth, and come unto me and be baptized in my name, that ye may be sanctified by the reception of the Holy Ghost, that ye may stand spotless before me at the last day. Verily, verily, I say unto you, this is my gospel, and ye know the things that ye must do in my church, for the works which ye have seen me do, that shall ye also do. For that which ye have seen me do, even that shall ye do. Therefore ye do these things. Therefore if ye do these things, blessed are ye, for ye shall be lifted up at the last day. A couple of big ifs in there. There's one other place I want to take you as we explore what his mission on this earth was. This is from the book of Titus. And I'd like to give credit where credit is due. This was first pointed out to me, and I became extremely aware of it. And it's become one of my go-tos. When I heard my brother Todd Schoenemann preach a sermon here. Thank you, Todd, very much for that. In the second chapter of the book of Titus, from the 11th through the 15th verse, through the 14th verse, I'll stop there. For the grace of God, which bringeth salvation to all men, hath appeared, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now listen carefully. Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. If indeed there is still any doubt in your mind as to the mission of Jesus Christ on this earth and ever since, I can assure you of one thing. You are his mission. You are the reason that he did this. He tells us in the Doctrine and Covenants, the 22nd chapter, you are his work and his glory. I speak particularly to the youth and to the young at heart. Because of the day and time in which we live and the things that we see going on around us, I can assure you that he is ready for you to commit yourselves, to righteousness and obedience to his commandments. When I first contemplated this thought, I thought about acorns. I spend a lot of time in the timber, in the woods, in what forests you might find in Kansas. And there are oak trees there on my property, on the property that the Lord has made me steward over. Great massive oak trees. And every other year, those oak trees produce a crop of acorns. And I walk through and I walk on that carpet of acorns on the ground after they have fallen from the trees. And there's thousands of them under each tree. There may be hundreds of thousands of them there. And they crunch under my feet. And some of the acorns have only left the cap because the deer come along and eat the meat of the acorn out from under the cap of the acorn. But there are also many acorns that are left there. And within each one of those acorns, every single one of those acorns, within each one, there is the potential of a massive oak tree.
Most oak trees don't actually sow their own acorns. They just drop them on the ground. And then the squirrels pick them up. And they take them and they bury them in the ground. You might say those squirrels plant those acorns. And every now and then, one of them sprouts into a small oak tree. And if the other animals in the woods leave those acorns alone, the oak tree gets bigger and bigger. And in my lifetime, I've seen acorns grow into oak trees 20 to 25 feet tall. Within each acorn is the potential of a huge oak tree. Within each one of you is the potential of Zion. Each and every one of you bears within you the potential of Zion. And I'm sure that the Lord would love to see you commit to righteousness, to obedience. And if you'll make that commitment, I believe He will plant you as seeds of Zion. It's not a belief. That's knowledge. I know that if you will make that commitment, He will plant you as seeds of Zion. Now you might think to yourself, I'm not really ready for that, this commitment to Zion, this commitment to righteousness. I'm not really ready for that because I'm human. And as a human, basically, I'm selfish. And each time I express that selfishness, that's sin. You might not be ready for it. You might be afraid to do it because you'd like to live your life. You might not be ready for Zion because you want to live your life. I guarantee you, a life in Zionic living is so much more than what the world has to offer you. The Lord tells us in Matthew, the 11th chapter and the 30th verse, He says, My yoke is easy and My burden is light. Think about that. It's not difficult. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. It's not a heavy burden to carry. It's not a heavy load to pull. You can do it. All you have to do is choose to do what's right. Every time. And if you don't choose to do what's right, if you choose, you know, Satan's really good at his job. I find it interesting that when God lays a choice in front of us, He just puts the choice out there. And then Satan polishes the apple. And he makes it shiny. And attractive and appealing. Something to be desired in our eyes and in our minds. He's good at that. The temptations that He places in front of you, glitzy, glamorous, pleasurable. And God says, choose the right way. And it's not difficult. I find it less difficult the older I get. When I was young, I found it quite difficult. Your commitment is going to require, if you decide to commit to righteousness and obedience, which I would think that most people in this chamber would be ready to do that. If you make that commitment, it's going to require that you bind yourselves together in love. And I mean bind yourselves together. You can't allow anything to separate you from the others who have made that same commitment. Many times in the past, there have been failures in these endeavors. Usually it's because somebody runs off with the money. But bind yourselves firmly in love. Those lessons in the past will serve as lessons to guide you on your journey. Look back at the failures and say, that's not what's going to happen to us. In order to fulfill this commitment, you're going to have to meet together often. Spend time with each other. Others who have bound themselves to righteousness. Who want to do the right thing every time. You're not going to do the right thing every time. But when you choose wrong over right, there's a simple procedure after that. Just pray a mighty prayer. Ask the Lord to forgive you. Go your way and sin no more. It's not as difficult as we make it seem. And I would say also, you will need, if you make this commitment, you will need to not only gather in social settings together, but you're going to need to worship together. You're going to need to have your own worship services where you worship the Lord and let the Lord lead you and guide you in your worship. Accept the Holy Ghost. Let Him into your heart and let Him lead you. He'll tell you what you should do. He'll tell you what you should say. Every time. If you commit yourselves to righteousness and obedience, I would suggest that you focus your efforts on performing good works. Remember in Titus, he wanted to sanctify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. I may use that phrase too often. But all you have to do is do your good works. Choose to do the right thing every time. Do your good works. There's a caveat. When you do those good works, you can't do them looking for a blessing. You can't do them looking for any kind of a reward. You can't even do them looking for any kind of recognition. You have to perform your service to anyone who stands in need, not just to each other, not just to your families, not just to your own children, but to anyone who stands in need. And you have to do those things without thought of reward. I was fortunate enough, the Lord led me to attend last night's CPRS spring play. And it was so confirming of what I wanted to say to you today. I'll try to get the title right. Inasmuch as you have done this to the least of these. That was the title of the play. And it was magnificent. It was wonderful. Some of our own kids from this congregation were in the play. And I salute you. I celebrate you. I thought you did a fantastic job. I thought everybody, and there was a cast of 1,000...
There were so many kids involved. It was wonderful to see little kids, second graders doing their parts and doing them perfectly. It was wonderful. And it was all about choosing to do what's right every time. It was all about learning to do righteous. Learning to be obedient. It was all about, I'm sure you knew I was going here at some point in time, it was all about loving each other. It was so fantastically presented to teach the lesson of loving each other. I'm so very glad that I went. In the 25th chapter of Matthew, in the parable of the sheep and the goats, remember, the sheep didn't even know that what they were doing was being counted as righteousness for them. They were just doing good works because it was the right thing to do. They knew it was the right thing to do. That's how they lived. That was just part of their make. That was their heart. They did it all out of love. Concern for their fellow men. Concern for those in need. And that's what's required of you in order to become His people. You have to be one. You have to be bound together as one. You have to have charitable hearts. You have to be willing to give, to help. You have to commit to this. If you will be one and have charitable hearts and beg for forgiveness when you fail, the work of the Lord will move forward rapidly. And the beautiful city will be. And so, I leave you with a challenge. I challenge you, especially you young ones. I challenge you to commit yourselves, dedicate yourselves to righteousness. Move out, bind yourselves together. I challenge you. And I pray that the Lord will bless you and keep you and lead you in every one of your pathways.
Go to your insert inside your bulletin. We're going to be singing In the Garden, hymn number 127. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for that Spirit has rested upon this place this day. And we ask that it might go forth with thy people as they go to their homes and as they remember the love of thy Son and the sacrifice that he made and thy sacrifice, Lord. Be with us, guide and direct us. May our hearts be pure as we walk into this place and come to remember all those things that you have given us in our lives that we are so unworthy of. Guide and direct and bless us. And we pray this in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.